Yes, it's that time of the week where we talk to our wonderful gardening guru. It's not Scott. It's Judy. I was just thinking, because don't they call Scott the gardening guru, or are you the gardening guru?
I think that Mark calls him the gardening guru.
You can be the gardening goddess.
Sounds reasonable.
That does sound reasonable. Now, Judy, what are we going to talk about today?
Oh, we need to talk about planting poppies. We need to talk about planting annuals. We need to talk about sweet peas that are already in the ground. And then we need to talk about citrus with problems.
We've got Joan from Adamstown on the line. Hi, Joan. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. Now, I believe you'd like to talk about spinach.
Yes.
Hi, Joan. Hi, Joan.
Hi, how are you, Judy?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Beautiful day.
Oh, lovely day today. A little bit cool this morning, but now it's lovely, isn't it?
Lovely, yes. Now, I have a raised garden bed, a metal raised bed. You know how you have a metal bed that's up off the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I put spinach in it, and the first crop was lovely. As the leaves started to come back again, they looked like they were getting eaten. But I've got a netting thing over it, and there's nothing inside the netting. But the leaves look like they're burnt, and then they sort of, where the burn little patches of brown are, that goes into a hole.
Right. Okay, Joan. Now, did you plant spinach or silver beet?
It's a giant, the one, the big leaf one.
Ford hook, right, okay. Mm-hmm. Rightio. So did you plant that in the summer in the warmer weather?
No, it's been in about 6 weeks.
Oh, right, okay, because it is a winter crop, and normally spinach is grown down south because of the climate is better. In Queensland and New South Wales, a lot of people plant silver beet. So maybe you could have problems because it's the weather.
Yeah. The ones that I had left over when they all wouldn't fit in the vegetable, the bin.
Yeah.
The built-up bin. I put in the ground and they're good.
Oh, right, okay. So we've got something nasty eating them in that.
Yeah. Well, I had little grasshoppers burst off, and that's why we put the netting over it. You know, little tiny half-inch grasshoppers.
Yeah.
And I sprayed it with, what's the one you spray for vegetables?
Pyrethrum?
Yes, yes.
Right.
And it still, the leaves still looked like they were getting eaten.
Right,
okay.
But there
was nothing in the net. Yep. And I was wondering if it's got a fungal disease in the ground.
Well, that could be the case. But maybe you've just got grubs underneath the surface.
I looked everywhere, Dale.
You didn't have grubs. Right,
no.
Okay. So the ones in the ground are doing well.
Yeah, they're not got all these holes. It just looked, the leaf looks like a piece of lace.
Right, okay. Look, if you've got any fungicide at home, certainly water that over them.
Yeah.
Have you got a fungicide?
I've got mancozeb.
Right, okay, that's good. Water that over it. But just also, if you've got, you've got your pyrethrum or something like that, I'd spray the leaves with that as well. Just in case there's something, grubs or something.
Go down into the ground a bit.
Yes,
like
definitely. Mix it up and water it through.
Right. And when you put mancozeb on, can you eat it?
No, there'll be a withhold. There will be a withhold on it. So just watch the instructions on the packet.
Right.
Okie dokie.
Right. Well, thanks for that, Dawn.
That's all right, but, you're doing well to grow spinach here in the north in the winter. So you probably planted it early, so you've got a success.
Good luck with that, Joan. Appreciate your call. Next, we've got Leonie from Fisher's Hill near Vasey. Hi, Leonie. How can we help you?
Hello, Leonie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, dear. So what's the problem you've got... soil with a high pH, evidently.
Yeah, that's right. So we bought it from the from a local supplier and got it here. And when we tested the pH, it's up around 8, 8.5. So we really want to use it in our veggie garden straight away. But
right.
Is there a way to bring that pH down to the, you know, sort of 6 to 6.5 range?
Yes, okay. Well, you probably can. Have you ready to plant yet? You might have to wait a little while.
Yeah, we can plant any time, but the sooner the better for all the winter veggies.
Yeah, that's right. So, look, perhaps if you put a bit of poultry manure in, that should bring the pH down.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be my best advice at the moment, and but it might take a week or so for it to work.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's pretty high when you, where you bought it.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, we won't go into that. Okay, so we're aiming to bring it down. Even some lime should bring it down a bit. If you've got any lime, and you know, you'd only have to wait a week to plant.
Okay, all right, we'll give it a go.
Okay, thanks, Leonie, for the call.
Thanks very much. Yeah. By next, we've got Phil from Swansea.
Hello, Phil. What can I help you with?
We've got a beautiful Moraya hedge. It's about 100 metres long, and when it's trimmed, it looks fantastic. But what's happening now, it's getting dead patches in it.
Right, okay.
And we can't figure out. I've sprayed with pest oil, not Comfort Oil, what's the, yeah, Comfort Oil. We very rarely water it. It's because it's a Australian native. So we're just wondering what, other than our, we've got our trim before winter coming next week, and then we were going to get in and trim it, all the dead wood back.
Right, okay, Phil. Can you see any insects or anything on it?
The only thing we can see is very, very, very small white flies when you brush.
Right, okay. Well, white flies would indicate you've got grubs or something around.
Yeah, that's what we've been told, it might be a grub.
Yeah, definitely. If you've got the butterflies, definitely.
Yeah, they're very, very small. You can barely see them. And when you wipe the leaves, you can see them. They jump up into your face. They're small.
Nasty little devils, aren't they? No. But, you know, Moraya's are so easy to grow, you know, and you've had them for a while.
Yes.
So, look, I'd definitely use something to try and, you know, water down through the soil.
Okay.
Yeah, and spray the plants as well.
Yeah, we haven't really done. It's very thick.
Right.
When he cuts it, you can barely put your hand through it.
Okay. So what happens now when it's pruned?
Well, when it's pruned next Thursday, we're all going to get into it and find any dead wood and trim it out.
That's the way to go.
That way, we'd be able to get in and see what's around.
What's going on? Phil, you don't really need my assistance. You've got the answers.
Oh, I thought you might have had a real good one.
Look, I just find Moraya hedges do their own thing.
Well, that's what we do. We just let it go, yeah?
Yeah. I've got them all in the front of my home, so I never have any problems. But they grow on neglect at my place, Phil.
Yes, same here. But when they're trimmed, they look magnificent.
They are. They're wonderful plants, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, dear. Well, look, good luck with that and do what you think's best.
Okay. Thanks, Judy.
Thanks a lot, Phil. Judy, you want to talk about poppies?
Yeah, we're coming up to Anzac Day and everyone will have prepared their beds. Amanda, they will have put poultry manure in.
Right.
And the poppies should be planted on Anzac Day. So dig the poultry manure in now and that will prepare it ready for planting on Anzac Day. It's a tradition.
So do you plant the seeds or they already grown and you just put them in?
You should plant your plants on Anzac Day.
Mm-hmm.
But if all else fails, just put some seeds in. But poppies are difficult to grow, so it's better to get the plants.
Right.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, they're very tender little things, the poppies. Yeah.
And they're out in the sun?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, in winter, definitely.
Yeah, all right. How long do they last for?
Oh, only annuals, darling. They only last for a few months.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, still they look nice.
Well, you can get perennial poppies, but they're the red ones. But it is a tradition that they're planted on Anzac Day.
Okay, well, there you go. I've just learned something. Thank you.
Yeah.
We've got Jan from Currumbong on the line. Hi, Jan.
Hello, Jan. What could I help you with?
Hi, Judy. I've got all shrubs and things in pots outside, but they've got little, a lot of them have got little green, tufty-looking stuff on them, like I thought it was some sort of moss, but I don't know.
So it's growing on the soil or on the plants?
No, on the plant, on different stems.
Right, okay. So can you describe that to me?
I don't know. It's like little tuft things, green tuft things growing on it. You can pick them off.
Right, okay. So what kind of shrubs are you growing, Jan? That might give me the hint.
Well, one's yesterday, today and tomorrow, whatever that is.
Yeah, Brunsfield's, yeah.
And there's, I think, a native something. Is it a calphia or something?
Right. Now, Jan, have you sprayed with anything?
I did spray with just pyrethrum spray, but that doesn't seem to do much good.
You know, I think that's the answer to every prayer. So have you done it regularly?
Yes, pretty well.
Right, okay. And can you scrape it off?
Yes, you can just pick it off.
Right, okay. So
it's the little tufts off.
Right, okay. That's unusual. They're little tufts.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
It's not like a flat moss, you know, that grows on the ground.
Yeah.
It's just on the limbs, different limbs, and it's just like a little tuft. You can pick it off.
Okay, Jan, we might need melathon and white oil.
Oh, righto, yeah.
Have you got any of that? Yeah, if you've got it, try it. That should do the job.
All righty-o then. Thank you.
Okay.
And there's a white scale on some rose bushes.
Well, the melathon and white oil will treat that as well.
That too?
Yeah,
righto.
Definitely.
Thank you.
You've got it all covered.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jan.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye. This is Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM and we have Andrew from Singleton on the line.
Hello, Andrew. How are you today? What can I help you with?
Yeah, thanks, Judy. I've got an orange tree with a green ant's nest has come up underneath it. And I want to treat the green ants, but I'm really concerned about using poison and then that carrying into the oranges.
Right,
I'm just wondering if you'd have any recommendations.
Well, Andrew, you could use pyrethrum. That might kill the ants, but then again, you could just use a household spray.
Okay.
And I think that would be quite safe with the orange tree. It probably wouldn't absorb much, but funny you should ring about that today because I've got some in my bathroom.
Green ants,
and I can't get rid of them, Andrew, and my little doggy Arthur, he keeps going into the bathroom and trying to kill them and eat them, and I'm frightened he's going to get stung.
Yes, it'll be repeating on him anyway.
Yes. So, Andrew, just be a bit careful because, you know, these ones I've got, are they fairly big ants?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, well, mine are too, so nasty little devils. But, you know, I think they come searching. But, you know, I don't know why they're under the orange tree.
Yeah, it's unusual. We've had black ants there previously, but these seem to have taken over, so maybe they found some old workings or...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'd go out with a fly spray and give them curry.
Yeah, give them hell. I got bitten by a green ant last weekend, and I honestly, 11 times it bit me. It got inside my jeans, so I actually had ants in my pants. But anyway, and and I'm allergic, so it was not pleasant. So get them, I say.
Andrew, just be a little bit careful. Don't let them bite you like they bit Amanda.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye. Next we have Pam from Gateshead.
Hello, Pam. What could I help you with today, dear?
Hi, how are you going?
Have you got a problem you need to have answered?
Yeah, I have. My roses.
Right.
They've got so much scale on them. I've been out there, I've sprayed them, I've scraped it. I can't get rid of it.
Okay, Pam, what have you used to spray it with?
What is it, black something or other? It's rose spray, anyhow, and they've got fertilisers and everything in it.
Oh, right, okay. We need something stronger, I think, Pam.
It's bad, and I don't want to lose them. They're all very special roses.
No, and Pam, I've got a problem too at the moment. When I drove out today, I realised my new rose buds are covered in aphids. So just keep your eye out on them. But, okay, we need melathon and white oil.
Melathon and white oil.
Yep.
Oil, okay. Now, I have pruned them. One of them, there's no leaves on it at all. It's just all just shoots.
Right, okay, Pam. When did you prune?
Well, I did a bit yesterday too.
Oh, it's a bit late now to prune. But that's all right. You know, don't keep doing anything else. Only fertilise them and spray.
That was the next question. Fertilise.
Okay.
And the spray that I use is the fertiliser. It's in a black bottle and it's got a red rose on it. What is it? It's one of the big good ones.
Okay.
Fertiliser and all in it. This is a liquid fertiliser. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay. But look, I need you to get some sudden impact or some poultry manure now you've pruned.
Well, I can't put poultry manure because my dog would eat it.
Right. Yeah. What about sudden impact?
I can do that.
Okay. Sudden impact for roses, and give them a good handful each because you need to keep the water up to them now that you've pruned.
Right. Oh, okay. Well, they get watered automatically every second day. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, so get your sudden impact for roses. And if you've got any citrus, you can use it on the citrus as well.
No, I haven't got any citrus.
Okay.
Camellia.
No, don't put on the camellia because they like the acidic soil.
Okay.
Okie doke. Rightio. Yep. So hop out now and get some sudden impact and give them a good fertilise.
And some melathon and white oil.
Melathon and white oil for that scale.
Yep. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Pam. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Bye. We've got Leonie from Head and Greeter on the line.
Hello, Leonie. What can I help you with today?
Well, I've got a couple of bromeliads and they've flowered. Is it true that bromeliads only flower once?
Generally. But what they will do where you've got your plant, they will send up side shoots.
Yeah. So the idea would be to get rid of the one that's flowered and make the shoot be the dominant one in the flowers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was the case, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, but Leonie, I've got, sorry, dear, to interrupt. I've got a whole bed under my trees and I've left them go even when they flowered because they still live and they get new shoots on them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's just that mine are in smaller pots than I think.
Oh, right. Okay,
They're going to get too crowded.
Yeah, no. Well, just, take it easy though because that plant that's flowering might be supporting the new ones.
Yeah. Is it too late to fertilise citrus and roses?
I was just talking to a lady about that then. Certainly you could fertilise your roses and your citrus, but don't give them a lot. Do you use sudden impact, Leonie?
No, I have used it in the past, but I don't usually use it. Use the rose food or something like that.
Right, okay. Well, you can't give that to your citrus, of course.
No.
You could give them sudden impact, but don't give them a lot of feed now because they're probably wanting to go to sleep.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Leonie.
Thank you.
Bye.
This is Gardening Talkback on 2NURFM. We've got Nancy from Quarrabalong on the line.
Hello, Nancy. What can I help you with today?
I have some flowering gums with Spitfire caterpillars on them. Ooh. I'd like to know, A, what to do to get rid of them, or do I leave them and see what they grow into? Surely they grow into a moth or a caterpillar.
Oh, they surely will. But, Nancy, how big are the gums?
Only about 10 or 12 foot high.
Oh, so you could reach them with spray, right?
Oh, yes. I can get them.
Look, I'd spray, dear. I'd get rid of them because Spitfires can really hurt.
I just want to know what they grow into.
Oh, okay. Well, big decision to make.
They're out of the road. They're not bothering me.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you wait and see? But then you might have a a cycle developing, you know, whatever they turn into might then want to create other caterpillars too.
Right. You don't know what they turn into.
I'm just Googling.
No,
to see
well,
if it says anything.
Yeah, look, I don't know why they're there, but honestly, yeah. But Nancy, if you want to see what they turn into, just wait and don't spray.
They've been there, some of them have been there about 3 weeks now, and I assume they'll probably go into a cocoon, but they're still in the big cluster.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what I'm wondering, are they going to sort of separate and go into a pod or something?
It's not really giving me anything.
Anyway, I'll just have to see if I can chase it up.
Yeah, no, look, I'd just, leave some and see what happens.
Well, that's what I've been doing. I check them every couple of days.
Okay.
But very carefully going around the
trees. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, be careful. You don't want them biting you.
I keep track of where they are.
Okay. Yeah. Nancy, you're a naturalist, aren't you?
No.
I thought you might be when you wanted to see what the caterpillars produce.
Well, I would like to know what they grow into. I mean, we used to get them here years ago and just kill them, but this couple are up the back and they're out of the road, and I just thought, well, I'll see if I can find out what they grow into.
Well, fair enough too. I think that's very kind, to be honest.
It says here, Spitfire caterpillars are not true caterpillars like moth butterfly larvae, but the larvae of the Australian Spitfire sawfly is a type of wasp. That's just an AI overview. It could be wrong, but that's what's coming up.
Yeah, well, that could be very dangerous.
Well, I might get rid of them then.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Nancy.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
Next we have Brian from Windella.
Hello, Brian. How are you going?
Oh, I'm going well, thank you. This is the first time I've rung, but I do listen to your show every week.
Oh, you're a nice man.
I mightn't be yet, because I've got a grevillea that's about 4, maybe 5 metres tall out the front, and it just seems to grow like a beanpole. If it gets a shoot, then it just grows straight up. So I'd like to prune it. I'd like to prune it by about half, if possible, or more. Will that kill it?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. So I can prune it really, really hard, because it's got a main stalk, a main trunk on it, that's probably about 300 mil or a foot wide.
Right, okay. Well, do you have to prune that trunk?
Okay.
Going to take off the side growth?
No, I want to cut the height out of it, so to make it in a more of a bush than a telegraph pole.
Okay, Brian, well, can I recommend something that you wait now till we've had winter?
Okay, yep.
And then prune it, because now you might lose the grevillea.
Okay. I'll wait. I might give you a ring back towards the beginning of spring.
Sounds like a plan, Brian.
Yeah, and my second one is that I've got a bird's nest fern that I inherited off my mum out of Sydney, and it was doing really, really well. It's on a southeastern corner of the house. It gets a fair bit of shade, but just this summer it's really struggled, and now it's got a brown fungus that grows on the back of the leaves.
On the back of the leaves, right?
Yeah, on the back of them. Now, I don't know whether that's I'm overwatering it, I'm underwatering it, or it's just got sad because Mum passed away about 6 months ago.
Oh, Brian, well, maybe let's deal with the scale, because we want it to survive, if you know it's a memory of your mum.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Look, how about if you got some Malathon and white oil?
Malathon, yeah.
Malathon, but you need the white oil in it as well.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, and spray it, and then give us a buzz back and let us know what happened.
Oh, I will. I've got both those products up the shed. So.
Oh, there you go. So you didn't need me, Brian.
Oh, yes, I did. I'm not that clever.
Okay, good luck with it, Brian. Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Hi.
This is Gardening Talkback. We've got Bruce on the line from Tuncurry.
Hello, Bruce. What could I help you with today?
Hey, Judy. I've been listening to you like last week, and it was concerning leaf miner on a lemon tree.
Right.
I spray it with Malathon and white oil.
Yep.
But do I cut all those curly leaves off?
Oh, look, I was going to speak about that today, actually, Bruce, but we've had so many callers. Look, my citrus is really damaged by leaf miner, and I'm going to... give it a prune back.
Yep.
Okay. So that's the solution, really, because they do look ugly, don't they?
Yeah.
they look very ugly. But, you know, while we've still got a bit of warm weather, you can prune it back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And not too hard, though. But, you know, it's advisable at this time now, so it discourages them from coming back again.
Yep, okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, Bruce. Good luck with it.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Bruce. Bye. Okay, now, Judy, you have got a range of topics that we can get through today.
Sure.
You want to talk about planting annuals?
Yes, 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 of course. Now it's time to plant pansies, viola, primula and cinerarias.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so we'll, shall I say it again?
You can keep talking. Okay. Let us know.
Okay, pansies, violas, primulas and cinerarias should be planted now, but people that have planted sweet peas, they will require staking at this time.
Right.
Particularly if they're the tall growing sweet peas. And, you know, I've just spoken then about cutting off the damage on the citrus, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my topics today.
Yep.
And Japonica camellias, they will now be producing their blooms and they tend to get a lot of buds on them. So the secret is to remove some of the excess buds, leaving two or three per cluster. Now, that's Japonica camellias, and they will really be start to flowering soon, so it's a good time to do it, Amanda.
Wonderful.
Mm.
Anything else that you'd like to quickly get through?
Oh, yes, certainly. Okay, we talk about sweet peas, citrus. Oh, check your clivias. Oh, my goodness, this is my big hate when this happens. They're called clivia caterpillars, and they live on the top of one another, and they're creepy and crawly, but they get on the underside of clivias. You know, clivias are the beautiful flowering plants. I love them.
Mm.
And last year I had to really fight these grubs to stop killing my clivias, and when we did talk about it on air, a lot of people rang up and said that they had it.
Right.
Yeah, because they're on the other underside, so you don't see the little horrors.
Oh.
And when I turned it over, they were just crawling everywhere.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So we've got
to
keep an
eye on those. All the topics
today. We have. Thank you very much, Judy. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you, Amanda.
Gardening
Talk
Back.
It's been fun.
Thank you, as always, to NURFM.